The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Therefore, be it resolved that the members of the House of Assembly acknowledge Stephen's friendship, leadership, and record of achievement, and congratulate him for his work on behalf of his constituents, his party, and his province. Mr. Speaker, I ask for waiver of notice, passage without debate.
There has been a request for waiver. Is it agreed? All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. Motion is carried. Orders of the day, oral questions put by members to ministers. The time now is 1:11. We will finish at 2:11. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, over the past 2 years, Mr. Speaker, government has slashed public education by $65 million. However, Mr. Speaker, at the same time period, the Department of Education has grown by 59 positions. My question to the Premier, what has the Premier got public education while increasing staffing in the Department of Finance?
The Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, the Leader of the Opposition is, of course, incorrect. He knows that, though. He knows that the positions in the Department of Finance were consolidation coming out of other departments, and that overall the number of FTEs in the public service, in fact, has declined over that period of time. Mr. Speaker, so the fact of the matter is that I think we are, of course, appropriately funding all the departments, and that includes education, and it includes, of course, the school boards for the work that they do.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, I would agree with the Premier that he's appropriately staffing and funding the departments, meeting where the ministers sit, Mr. Speaker, but he's not appropriately staffing the classrooms across this province. Mr. Speaker, while the Department of Finance may have taken on more responsibility, so perhaps they do deserve more money, more allocation into the budget. But, Mr. Speaker, teachers across this province have been asked to take on more responsibilities over the last 2 years. And, Mr. Speaker, at the same time, we're cutting $65 million of support for classroom teachers across this province. So my question to the Premier, if the Minister of Finance gets extra support when he takes on extra duties, why the double standard for teachers?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, the Leader of the Opposition would know that just yesterday the House was presented with a review of the Chignecto Regional School Board. In that document, they included statistics which demonstrated that between 2006-2007 and 2011-2012, in fact, there was an increase in resources in the classroom for students.
Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, that report would also say that the Chignecto Regional School Board did due diligence when they presented their budget to the people of Chignecto Region, Mr. Speaker. The very board that this Premier stood in this House and chastised for playing politics, Mr. Speaker. His own staff member went down there and verified the fact that they were not playing politics. They were doing what was in the best interest of their students. Mr. Speaker. And in that same report that he's talking about, Mr. Speaker, it identifies that this government does not fund special needs education in this province to the tune which we invest in it, Mr. Speaker, because school board members across this province recognize they need to put resources in classrooms to support teachers, unlike this government, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, while the Department of Finance has grown by 59 positions, the Department of Economic and Rural Development is up 65, Department of Energy is up 12, Mr. Speaker. Department of Justice is up 49. I think the members want me to start over again, Mr. Speaker. They're not keeping track. Mr. Speaker, well, let me add it up, Mr. Speaker. The government has added 675 positions since taking office. So my question to the Premier, why is the Premier asking schools to do more with less when he's asking, giving his ministers more to do the same?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, you know, no amount of trying to manipulate numbers will make what the Leader of the Opposition say is true. The fact of the matter is there are less members of the public service now than there were when we came to office. But I will table for the member opposite the review of the Chignecto Central Regional School Board that says that between 2006 and 2007 and 2011 and 2012, the number of students in that school board has gone down by 2,250. But the number of hours for EAs, Mr. Speaker, have gone up by 146. That's more resources in the classroom.
The Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as all Nova Scotians now know, last night at the 11th hour, after 172 beds had been closed at Capitol Health, 430 surgeries cancelled, 2,000 outpatient appointments wiped out, 530 diagnostic tests put on hold, the government and the workers of Capitol Health reached a tentative agreement. Nova Scotians were disappointed that for weeks the Premier allowed all of this to go on, and now they deserve how much this agreement is going to cost them. So my question to the Premier, will he commit to sharing with this House and all Nova Scotians the full cost of the agreement that was reached last night, including salary, benefits, other concessions, including any pension effect, by the time that agreement is ratified?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, of course, as the member opposite has indicated, there is a tentative agreement. That means that it will have to go to a vote for the union. So at this point, you know, any discussion with respect to the financial impact for the province, or for that matter, the benefits which might accrue to the workers, is purely speculation. So there's no need to engage in that at this point.
Here. Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party on his first supplementary.
The Premier was elected to represent all Nova Scotians, not just some Nova Scotians. And what he has just told this House is that the people he represents, the people of Nova Scotia, will be the last to know how much that agreement is going to cost them, even though they're the ones footing the bill. Mr. Speaker, Capitol Health has budgeted for a 1% increase under the direction of the government, as all health authorities have. We now know that the CEO of Capitol Health, Ms. Chris Power, has said that she is expecting the NDP government to fund any increase above 1%. We know the result is going to be much more than 1%. So my question to the Premier is, will he tell Nova Scotians, is he planning to provide the extra funding to Capitol Health to fund this agreement, or in the alternative, what does he expect them to cut in programs to pay for this agreement?
Honourable the Premier.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as I pointed out, there is no agreement. There is a tentative agreement. We are, of course, very hopeful that the membership of the Capital District Local will adopt the recommendation of their union executive and ratify the agreement. But until that time, any discussions with respect to these things is purely speculative. Furthermore, if they accept the agreement, there will be an arbitrator put in place. The arbitrator would then have to make a decision before the government would be fully apprised of what those costs would be. So there is an appropriate time for the release of information, and there is an inappropriate time to do that. We will wait till the appropriate time.
The Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, there is an agreement, tentative as it may be, with all kinds of provisions in it, including the arbitration boundaries for salary. Either the Premier knows what it's going to cost taxpayers and won't tell them, or he doesn't know, which is actually equally bad, since he's the one that's supposed to keep track of these things. Mr. Speaker, before agreeing to an arbitration, the Premier should have ensured that the arbitrator was instructed to make sure that he or she took into account the ability of the taxpayers of the province to pay for the agreement. But we know today he didn't. And my answer to the Premier, why not?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, what we did do was set out the parameters for an arbitration so that we knew both what the floor and the ceiling of that agreement would be. It's now up to the arbitrator to do an analysis of that. Mr. Speaker, I just remind the member opposite that when the Conservative government was in power and after Bill 68, something which ultimately was never something that was ultimately never brought into law, the government decided to go ahead with an arbitration that ended up with a 17% increase for the RNs. They didn't have the foresight that we had to set parameters around an arbitration. So, Mr. Speaker, we think this is a better model. Maybe they disagree.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker. The effects of this government's cuts are being felt in classrooms, Mr. Speaker. Students are getting fewer supports, and still, Mr. Speaker, it is students that need the most supports who are being left behind, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the Premier, how can the Premier justify spending $500,000 on orange lunch bags?
Yeah. Honourable the Premier.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's clear that the Leader of the Opposition didn't read the material that I just gave him. It points out that despite the fact, for example, in the Chignecto Regional School Board, despite the fact the number of students went down by some 2,250, the actual supports in the classroom through EAs actually increased by 146 hours. Those aren't our figures. Those are the figures of the school board, Mr. Speaker.
Here. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Actually, Mr. Speaker, I was listening to the Premier, but in most, like most cases, he got it wrong, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if you look at EAs, EAs from 09 to 010 at the Chignecto Regional School Board, Mr. Speaker, 2,091 hours. If you look at presently now, it's 1996. By most people, that's a decrease, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. If you look at library full-time equivalent, Mr. Speaker, when he took office, they were 39.6. Mr. Speaker, they're at 38.1. By most people's math, that's a decrease, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if you look at the full-time IT support equivalents, when he took power, they were 22. Now they're at 20. Mr. Speaker, that's a decrease by anyone's math, Mr. Speaker. I think he's trying to take credit for the former Tory government, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this government has spent $90,000 on education advertising, $500,000 on lunch bags, and, Mr. Speaker, they've increased the budget for department senior staff by 17.6%, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, that $500,000 for those orange lunch bags, Mr. Speaker, would have given us 8 teachers or 16 educational assistants, Mr. Speaker, or 20 librarian techs. Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier, why is the government more interested in self-promotion or departmental administration than in the quality of public education?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, we've set out for the Leader of the Opposition the facts with respect to enrollment in this province. He understands, I'm sure, that with the large decrease in the population of students in the province, that in fact we have a system where demand is decreasing. And I pointed out to him, and he can try and cherry-pick the last 3 years, but you cannot deny the inevitability of 2,250 fewer students in a regional school board and an increase of 146 additional EA hours. How, by anybody's math, is that not more?
Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, there is no one denying the fact that our student population has decreased. But what's insulting to teachers, parents, and all Nova Scotians is that this government and this Premier has boiled the debate down to there are fewer students means we need fewer teachers, Mr. Speaker. It does not take into account the complexity of the classroom has changed not only over the last decade, Mr. Speaker, but substantially over the last number of years. We're asking teachers, we're asking the system to do more with less, Mr. Speaker. It simply doesn't add up, Mr. Speaker. People across this province are more than willing to engage in a debate about public education, Mr. Speaker, but you cannot boil it down to a false debate about how many children we have and how many teachers we have.
Mr. Speaker, we should be talking about what it is we expect from our system, what is that we want for our students in the years to come, Mr. Speaker, but not falling down this trap of saying there are fewer students when, in fact, we are not talking about the needs of our students and our children, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier, will the Premier do the right thing and put students first and reverse these cuts to public education?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, increasing the number of e-hours do put more supports in the classroom. That's exactly what they do. Mr. Speaker, given even that there are 2,250 less students, there were only 10 less teachers, Mr. Speaker, meaning that there is more time for the teachers to give individual attention to the students, Mr. Speaker. That is increasing supports, Mr. Speaker. What the statistics also show is that the student-teacher ratio has actually dropped since 2006-2007 by 1.4 students per teacher.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On April 12th in this House, I asked the Minister of Education if she had signed the Nova Scotia Teachers Union petition, Kids Not Cuts. Along with the 20,000-plus Nova Scotians who had signed it, I asked the Minister, and she answered a firm no. So my question to the Minister is this: can it be true that as Minister of Education, she did not sign that petition?
Honourable the Minister of Education.
Yeah, it can be true.
That can be true, Mr. Speaker. I did not sign the petition.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the same day, Mr. Speaker, I asked the Minister of Education a question that she refused to answer. So I'll ask it again. How many MLAs in the NDP caucus signed the Kids Not Cut petition?
Honourable the Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
That's what put you guys there.
I would not know the number. That each person would have to be asked individually. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's obvious, Mr. Speaker, that this minister has no interest in supporting students and teachers in their fight for education in this province. Mr. Speaker, she failed to show leadership, but when she did not sign the petition herself, she refuses to answer a question about how many other members of her caucus signed it. Mr. Speaker, if the NDP caucus members had signed that petition, one would think that the minister would be proud to stand in her place and to tell everyone in this House that her colleagues did sign it. So my question to the minister is this: is the minister proud of the fact that her NDP caucus colleagues did not sign the petition to support kids in this province?
Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to stand here in my place and say that I am very proud that we have a plan for our children in this province. Kids and learning first.
There you go. It's tabled. The Honourable Member for Victoria of the Lakes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Community Services has told this House that she published the Talbot House report on the department's website in response to a Freedom of Information request. The Minister said, and I quote, "We were requested through a FOIPOP, which gives us an obligation," and I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. So my question through you to the Minister of Community Services: did the FOIPOP officer in her department review the Freedom of Information request and recommend the publication be displayed on their website?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Mr. Speaker, as the member opposite knows, we did an organizational review, and in the past we've done organizational reviews and we have published them, and I did explain to him that we had a request and that we discussed the matter, and we felt because it's a public document and there was a request to see it, that it would have been made public anyway. So we decided that we would put it on the website.
The Honourable Member for Victoria Lakes on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, Mr. Speaker, the minister is confused about FOIPAs.
Yep.
Her statement that her department had an obligation is not true for two reasons. First, the department didn't have to include the personal smears in the report in the first place, and they absolutely did not have to splash them on the internet. Two wrongs do not make a right, Mr. Speaker. Secondly, the Freedom of Information Act prohibits disclosing such information for at least two reasons. One, it unfairly damages the reputation of Father Abbas. And two, it was known to be inaccurate at the time of disclosure. And, Mr. Speaker, I'll table that section of the Act. So, Mr. Speaker, my question through you to the minister. In light of the fact that the minister broke the law by smearing Father Abbas, will she finally admit that she's not up to the job?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Mr. Speaker, as we said before, the VOIPOP request was through the media, so it was going to be out in the public anyway. And number two, that review was an organizational review. And as I've said in this house many times over, it is a shame that they have to fabricate it, that it's more than that. Anyone can go online and read it, and they will see that review is an organizational review.
The Honourable Member for Victoria de Lakes on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, this minister refuses to apologize to Father Evans. She refuses to admit that publishing the report was wrong. She refuses to admit that publishing a report containing allegations shown to be unfounded were illegal. And she refuses to remove this report from the website. So, Mr. Speaker, my question through you to the minister, for all her errors in judgment and breaking the law, will she resign?
That's right. The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
There's the R word.
Mr. Speaker, for doing a job for the people of Nova Scotia, my answer is no.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When asked earlier to the Minister of Education how many students in our public school system had identified special needs, the minister was unable to provide the answer. Yet the minister talks about funding to support students with special needs. So my question to the minister is this: how can you calculate appropriate funding to support students with special needs when you don't even know when the minister does not even know how many students have special needs?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Department met with each and every one of the school boards over a number of months. There were 24 different meetings that the department had, and the budget was based on the facts and figures that were provided from the school board. But I would like to add that it is very important that we do have data, and so with our program in school, we will be able to collect that data appropriately instead of having to wait for each school board to tabulate that, and it's been a little bit of an onerous task. We are moving forward and taking care of that situation. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to the Learning Disabilities Association of Nova Scotia, 1 in 10 have some form of learning disability. According to Autism Nova Scotia, the diagnosis for autism spectrum disorder grew in the past 20 years from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 110. And still the minister has not taken the time to learn how many students in our public school system have identified special needs. School boards know how many students have special needs. They provide that information to the minister every year. So will the minister go back to the department, do the math, and report back to this house how many students in our public schools have been identified as having special need?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much. As I said, that we are collecting the data now in a way that we have consistent information at the department. I would like to say that we recognize that there are increased costs with special education, and we took that into consideration, and we increased our funding for special education, and that funding is restricted funding going to our school boards. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Colchester North on her final supplementary.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think we need any sophisticated system in order to add up eight sets of numbers and bring the total into this House. Within the funding allocation to school boards, there is targeted money to support students with special needs. And during the last 2 years, this targeted funding has fallen short of the dollars that school boards needed to meet the needs of their special needs students. In fact, school boards are topping this up with dollars where they have flexibility. Given that there is no mention of special needs in the speech from the throne, and that education is not one of the pillars around which priorities are set, we should not be surprised, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the minister is this. When will the minister acknowledge that the funding to support our students with special needs is completely inadequate?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
I'm a member of the Conservative Minister.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The funding that we have provided to the school boards is the appropriate amount for them to do the work that they're doing. And I would like to add that the teachers of this province are doing a very good job meeting this, all of the children in our schools that have special needs. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Argyle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, the Minister of Community Services has frightened both parents and private daycare owners in the province by giving inconsistent statements to the media and doing nothing to quell their suspicions that they may lose funding and put their businesses and good care for nearly 9,000 Nova Scotian children in jeopardy. She simply told them they'll have to wait and see. My question, will the minister admit that she's not up to the job and resign?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Sounds like a Rodney McDonald.
Absolutely not.
The Honourable Member for Argyle on his first supplementary.
The Minister won't take responsibility for failing to call the daycare in East Preston to warn parents of the danger she was leaving their children in. She drove at least two families, Mr. Speaker, to yank their child from the daycare and scramble to find alternative arrangements because she let a disastrous situation go on for months, Mr. Speaker. She won't take responsibility for failing to recognize that the law had shortcomings and for leaving the strong impression through non-responsive and evasive answers that her action was related to protecting the government in a lawsuit. Mr. Speaker, will the minister admit that she's not up to the job and resign?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Mr. Speaker.
Judy, get the car out for the kids' rights.
Order, please. The Honourable Minister of Community Services has the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, as you know, I've related over and over the process that we followed. That was the process within our authority. We have explained to the members opposite the situation with the daycare was one that we had the authority to investigate a current issue that is under legislation that was... Developed in 1996, which was under their government also, and there is a protocol listing there that we have already given them. And because of the fact that there was absolutely no evidence at that time, we could not go forward on that. That's been explained to them. They were passed historical allegations that went to the RCMP. We did everything appropriately in that case. We did everything appropriately with Talbot House. And so the answer to the member opposite is no.
The Honourable Member for Argyle on his final supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, the minister won't take responsibility. It's everybody else's fault. For smearing a man by spraying false allegations in a public website and breaking the law in doing so. For severe disrespect of accomplished Nova Scotians who have run a publicly spirited and much-needed service for years, for playing PR games with these highly credible people, and for allowing her department, safe in the ivory silo here in Halifax, to force, Mr. Speaker, yes, force an addictions treatment center to close, displacing 13 young men. My question to the minister, at least three children and 13 men were displaced by her decisions. On top of that, she's made hundreds of daycare centers and families nervous. Will the minister admit, finally once and for all, that she's not up to the job and resign?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
You know, Mr. Speaker, it's a very sad day in Nova Scotia that people like that can mislead the public. We followed every process and procedure that was within our authority, and there was no smearing in that review. Anybody is welcome to read it. It was an organizational review, and what is so sad is that they like to twist the facts so much to create the fear. They're the ones who have been mentioning the father's name over and over. They're the ones who've been talking about the poor daycare and ruining their reputation. It goes on and on. And what is really sad, they're the sad ones.
The Honourable Member for Richmond.
Mr. Speaker, the Strait Regional School Board has been forced by this NDP government to cut 30 school-based teaching positions as well as 18.5 full-time support positions for the next coming school year. This has become a yearly occurrence under this NDP government. On top of this, the Strait Board was forced to close 3 community schools due to NDP budget cuts. Now, my question is, will the Minister of Education explain to parents in the Strait area exactly how taking 30 teachers out of the classroom and laying off 18.5 support staff is not going to diminish the quality of education in our classroom?
Honourable the Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The people in this province are expecting their school boards to make the appropriate decisions to make sure that the quality of education in the classroom is protected, and I am very sure that the Strait Regional School Board has done just that. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Richmond on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, this is a Minister of Education who has no problem spending money. It's just that she would rather spend it on marketing and gimmicks than on classroom education. Mr. Speaker, as I raised before, this is the minister who has thought wise to spend $500,000 of taxpayers' money on orange lunch bags for pre-primary students while cutting teachers from the classroom, as well as spending $90,000 on political ads, all the while cutting $65 million out of classroom education in the last 2 years. Mr. Speaker, there are 3 schools that the Strait Regional School Board have voted to close, and now parents are being told there will be 30 fewer teachers in the classrooms next year. Speaker, Nova Scotia is the second lowest funding on education in the country, and the NDP has cut an additional $65 million in the last 2 years. My question to the minister is, why is the minister more concerned about public relations than she is with public education?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We are investing in our children, and we have increased our funds per child in this province. I would like to add that the $500,000 for the resources, Play, Talk, and Learn, are reaching out to every pre-primary student in this province with resources on reading and literacy. It is to $35 investment per child over the next 3 years. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Richmond on his final supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, who needs teachers in the classrooms or up in the gallery when they can have a hacky sack, a glue stick, and a pair of scissors to help with their literacy skills? That is the message that we are getting from this government. Mr. Speaker, parents and teachers in the Strait Regional School Board are tired of seeing school closures, of teachers being cut, of staff being cut, of governments cutting money from the budget, $65 million over the last 2 years, and in return, we get orange lunch bags sent home as a mockery from this government. Mr. Speaker, it's ironic the minister who spent thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money to run ads saying that schools are the heart of our community at the same time as she sits idly by and watches 3 community schools be closed in the Strait Regional School Board. Mr. Speaker, my question to the minister is, when will she stop spending hundreds of thousands on marketing gimmicks while classroom teachers and support staff are being cut?
Honourable the Minister of Education.
Thank you very much. I stand by making sure that we are investing in our students, and we're making sure that every pre-primary student in this province gets resources before they come to school, unlike the last government's education minister, who only gave out resources to some of the children in the province. Some, not all. But we are investing in every child over the next 3 years. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Argyle.
Thank you very much.
She was putting $6 million in the system, not taking it out. She wasn't taking $60 million out, she was putting it in.
I can wait.
Order. Thank you. I would like to recognize the Honourable Member for Argyle now has the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. When ministers make mistakes, the citizens they serve expect them to step up and do the right thing. One of the greatest offenses a minister can commit is the revelation of private or personal details surrounding an individual. In neighboring New Brunswick, Justice Minister Bernard LeBlanc, apparently the Minister of Agriculture doesn't want to even listen here. In neighboring New Brunswick, Justice Minister Bernard LeBlanc resigned from cabinet in February 2010 over the improper release of a name in an email. At the time of the resignation, Mr. LeBlanc stated, and I quote, "I want to offer my sincerest apologies to the individual without reservation, to the individual and her family for this error." Mr. Speaker, my question through you is for the Premier. Does the Premier agree that Mr. LeBlanc did the right thing in offering his resignation after revealing such personal information?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, it's not hard to see where the question is going, and I have no idea whether or not the person in that province did the right thing. I don't know the details of the situation. What I do know is this, is that the Minister of Community Service did exactly the right thing. The allegations made by the Conservative Party are wrong. There were no mention of anybody in that report, and the only people who should resign, if that's their test, are them, because they are the only one who have brought forward a name publicly.
The Honourable Member for Argyle on his first supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The precedent for a minister offering their resignation after sharing private or privileged information is one that has been established all over Canada. In BC, the Minister of State for Multiculturalism, Harry Bloy, resigned in March of 2012 after admitting he shared information he obtained as his role as a member of cabinet with a third party. I wonder if the Minister of or the Deputy Premier wants to speak, because he seems to be chattering an awful lot in this House of Assembly.
Going.
At the time of his resigning, Mr. Bloy stated, and I quote, "I felt it important to accept responsibility for my actions in regard to sharing an email with a third party. It was my decision, and I accept that." I'll get to it, really. Yeah. In Ontario, the Health Minister Evelyn Gigantes offered her resignation after violating a cocaine addict's privacy in April of 1991. At the time of resigning, Ms. Gigantes said, and I quote, "I very much regret the mistake I made." Does the Premier agree that these individuals also did the right thing by resigning from cabinet after sharing private information?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, again, I will reiterate, the only people to release private information in this House are members of the Conservative caucus. They are the ones, not the Minister of Community Services, who has to release any information. There was an operational review. It is the Conservatives who have been trying to drag somebody through the mud.
The Honourable Member for Argyle on his final supplementary.
In October of 2005, New Brunswick's Family and Community Services Minister Tony Hutchins resigned from cabinet after violating the province's privacy laws. And after resigning, Mr. Hutchins says, and I'll table that one as well, and the Premier can read it if he wants, "I deeply regret the situation." And he added in his resignation was, quote, "the best course of action at this time." Mr. Hutchins did the right thing. Does the Premier agree that Mr. Hutchins did the right thing and that his Minister of Community Services should resign right away?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know whether that person did the right thing or not. I do know that in the past in this House there was a Conservative member or Conservative minister who, in fact, I think was in the Community Services portfolio, who released information from a person's file, never resigned. Mr. Speaker, in this case, the only person who has slurred anyone have been the members of the Conservative Party who have been dragging somebody's name through the mud, not the Minister of Community Services.
The Honourable Member for King's West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on April the 19th, the Annapolis Valley Regional School Board announced that they had to cut $3 million from its budget thanks to the NDP government. This translates to a reduction of 23 full-time teaching positions, 14 school library technicians, and 7 full-time teaching assistant positions. Mr. Speaker, Board Chair Lavinia Perry Swicker has stated, and I quote, and I'll table, schools will feel the direct impact of the reductions. The minister herself is a teacher, and she knows full well the critical role teachers, education assistance, and access to library services play in a student's success. My question for the minister, is the chair of Annapolis Valley Regional School Board wrong in saying that the minister's cuts will have an impact on the classroom?
Honourable the Minister of Education.
As I have stated, school boards make the decisions to make sure that the child in the classroom and their quality education is protected. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for King's West on his first supplementary.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's proof enough that the minister is out of touch with Nova Scotia classrooms and the diverse needs of our students. Perhaps if the minister took the opportunity to participate in the NSTU's Take Your MLA to School Day or face protesters outside her constituency office last Friday, she would have a better understanding of the real impact her cuts will have on the classroom. Mr. Speaker, parents are worried about their children's education. Boards are worried about being able to meet the needs of students while meeting cruel budget targets. Will the minister tell members of this House why she is buying $500,000 of lunch bags when students are losing support and schools are being cut to the core?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I would have very gladly met the people outside my office last Friday, but I was in the department working with the Canadian Space Agency around the program, and I made that very clear. Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Minister of Education has the floor.
I want to make it very clear that we have an MOU with the Canadian Space Agency with our science programs, and I had a teleconference call at 3:30, and I made that people very aware of that. Also, my office closes at 3 o'clock and has historically for the last 3 years, and I welcome meeting with any teachers to have a discussion. I will like to say, though, we are facing extremely challenging times. We have lost 30,000 students out of our system over the last 10 years, and we have 361 more teachers in the system today. These are challenging times, and we are meeting those challenges. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for King's West on his final supplementary.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, when it comes to space, I'd like to see this minister and this government launch a recommitment to public education in Nova Scotia. Students in the Annapolis Valley and across this province are counting on the minister to take a stand for education, fight for the needs of students at the cabinet table. Instead, it would seem, and confirmed by teachers, this minister is a lame duck when it comes to standing up for students. Will the minister stand up for the students of the Annapolis Valley, tell our cabinet colleagues to restore funding to public education?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I am standing up for students. We are making sure that we are providing skills trades in double the sites across this province. We are adding in Schools Plus sites. We are investing in our students, making sure that they have the quality education they need to succeed in this world. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Glace Bay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, access to supports and services can mean all the difference in a student's success in school and, of course, in life, as education is the key that unlocks the door to so many opportunities for our kids. Last year alone, 75 education assistants were cut from Nova Scotia schools, Mr. Speaker. Will the Minister of Education tell members of this House how many education assistants the Cape Breton Victoria Regional School Board lost last year because of the minister's damaging cuts to the education system?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that Cape Breton is actually an area in this province that is experiencing extreme decline in student enrollment. I think it's 7%. It's a sad situation that we're seeing that our population is decreasing in our schools. But I will add that we are making sure that the appropriate resources are in each of our school boards. The Cape Breton Regional School Board did their own review around student assistance in the schools, and they were well below our average. We are still funding appropriately to meet the needs of our students. Unfortunately, many of the students are not there.
The Honourable Member for Glace Bay on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, and I'm certainly aware of the declining population in Cape Breton and the fact that we're disappearing in rural Nova Scotia. And the reality is that these cuts will do nothing to keep families or kids or students in this province. Absolutely nothing. The Cape Breton Victoria Regional School Board lost 28 teaching assistant positions because this government sees more value in ordering $500,000 in lunch bags than providing necessary supports for the most vulnerable of our students. In an April 19th article on the Halifax Media Co-op, Kyle Hunter, who was an EA at my old elementary school of John Bernard Croke, says that his success in education was due to the education assistant he had when he was a student. Kyle says, and I quote, "I would have been lost in the system. I could have been one of those people that quit school because I didn't have the support of teaching assistants. I never would have passed, Mr. Speaker." End quote. And I'll table that article for the House to read. It's called Education for Some? Mr. Speaker, will the Minister of Education stand in the House today and admit to those students who have lost their education assistance because of her cuts that instead of guaranteeing the supports those students need to succeed, she spent $90,000 on promotions and $500,000 on orange lunch bags?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
The most important person, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, the most important person in the classroom working with our students is the teacher. The teacher makes sure that the children are receiving the supports they need through the IPP program. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Glace Bay on his final supplementary.
I'm certainly well aware of the role that the teachers and the support services and the support staff have for the students in the classroom, Mr. Speaker. But with these cuts and what's happening with this program, they're also going to be affected because of these education cuts. So maybe the government should consider producing orange backpacks with work boots and a work hat so that the people that go to Fort McMurray will be ready for their next jobs, because they're not going to have jobs in this education system, Mr. Speaker. Students who need education assistance are getting a raw deal from this government. Boards are being forced to eliminate services essential to student success, Mr. Speaker. Will the minister stand and tell those students who lost their assistance that she will stand up for them, reverse her government's detrimental cuts to education, and support every student in reaching their fullest potential in this great province of Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We are providing the appropriate funding to the school board to make sure that the students' needs are met in the classroom. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Premier. But let's start by cutting through all the double talk. Mr. Speaker, the Talbot House report contains 7 specific references to the executive director of Talbot House, of which, Mr. Speaker, there is only one. And everyone in Cape Breton knows who that one executive director is. And yet the Minister of Community Services chose to spray that report all over the public internet. She then defends that action, pointing to the Freedom of Information Act, which actually is designed to prevent her from smearing someone in this way with 7 specific mentions. And I will table those 7 references for the benefit of the Premier and for this House. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, this is a pattern of behavior. She could have warned the daycare parents at East Preston and chose not to. She could have protected the reputation of the executive director of Talbot House and not only chose not to, but chose to spray it for the whole world to see all over the public internet. She could have used the FOIPOP Act the way it's supposed to be, but chose not to. Mr. Speaker, that minister is responsible for her actions and the actions of her department, and yet she won't take that responsibility up. So I'm going to ask the Premier if he will fulfill his responsibility and replace that minister.
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, on the very, very day that the department received the report that he refers to, the minister went to the RCMP, which was the appropriate protocol, fulfilling her responsibility. In, might I add, an excellent fashion. Secondly, the mentions of the executive director in that report refer to an operational review. It is that member and members of his caucus who are, if anyone is smearing anyone, it is them.
The Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party on his first supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would suggest that the Premier should read the Talbot House report before he gets up and gives an answer like that, because he's implying that he thinks it is okay to knowingly smear the executive director of Talbot House by releasing a report that contained information that was knowingly wrong at the time. Mr. Speaker, this is the House where Joseph Howe defended the concept of ministerial responsibility. That Premier is the successor to Mr. Howe and the one who is supposed to defend the concept of ministerial responsibility. He is a minister that could have told the parents of East Preston Daycare that their kids were at risk and chose not to. She is responsible for that decision. He is a minister that could have protected the reputation of the executive director of Talbot House and chose not to. She is responsible for that decision. He is a minister who pointed to the FOIPOP Act when, in fact, it's the FOIPOP Act itself that says she's not supposed to release information that could cause personal harm to someone like the executive director of Talbot House. She won't take up her responsibility and do the right thing. It's time the Premier showed all of his ministers that he still believes that they're responsible for their actions and replaces that minister.
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I absolutely agree, and I want to congratulate the Minister of Community Services for doing an excellent job.
The Honourable Leader of the Progressive Conservative Party on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, there are a lot of parents that send their kids to daycare at the East Preston Daycare that for 8 months went without knowledge that they could be at risk because the Minister of Community Services wouldn't tell them. There are 13 men and several staff of Talbot House in Cape Breton that could be getting the services they need today but aren't because of decisions of that minister. There is a person, there is a Nova Scotian who has been found innocent and was found innocent before that report was published, who has had his reputation smeared because of the decisions of that minister, and now we have a Premier that says he thinks she's doing an excellent job. I'll give him one more chance to separate himself and his government from that record, do the right thing, replace the minister.
Honourable the Premier.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I will repeat what I've said before. The actions taken by the Minister of Community Services were absolutely correct. They followed exactly the right protocol. They were done in exactly the right order. I am very proud of the Minister of Community Services. Here.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Clayton Park.
Mr. Speaker, last Friday, members of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union rallied outside the government members' constituency offices to protest $65 million in cuts to education. Can the Minister of Finance tell members of this House and the provincial executive members of the NSTU in the gallery today how many of his caucus colleagues...
Order, please. Absolutely right that you cannot speak to members in the gallery that attend today. So I'd ask you to reframe that question, please.
Finance, tell all members of the House today how many of his caucus colleagues addressed teachers and concerned community members at these rallies.
It's not within the minister's portfolio. So they want the question to redirect it to the Minister of Education.
Correct.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Clayton Park.
Thank you. Well, we'll call that the preamble then. I'd like to table, if I could, some photos that came from those rallies held across the province from Teachers Union. And at the same time, an email that came from the Minister of Finance directly to people from his community who had written him about coming to his office. I'd like to quote the Minister. He says that my constituency office is intended for constituency matters. And this is to people who live in his community and represent schools and concerns about education in his community. He goes on to suggest that trying to speak to your MLA is somehow a backdoor to government. Mr. Speaker, it's an insult to everybody. Mr. Speaker, teachers are in the legislature this afternoon.
Get up and speak.
Okay.
Will
the minister address this House and explain why he was not present at his office last Friday, along with so many of his colleagues?
Again, it's not a question of the minister's portfolio. It's not a finance question. The honourable member for Halifax, Clayton Park. That's the rules. That is the rules in the House of Assembly, and we will follow
understand.
The rules. So I will ask you to ask another question or redirect a question. Thank you.
I appreciate that. It's hard to find out who's responsible for the office's closing
the
last Friday. That's for sure. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Finance did not sign the NSTU's petition calling on the government to restore funding. He didn't attend the MLA's Take Your MLA to School, or the offer to Take Your MLA to School Day, and he mysteriously closed his constituency office. But my question to the Minister is, when will he stop burying his head in the sand and see that cuts to education, which may fall under his banner, are bad for schools and bad for this province? It's dollars and cents.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I refer that to the Minister of Education.
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to remind everybody the Nova Scotia Teachers Union has every right to protest and to have petitions. They are there to make sure that their members are supported. The NSTU is for their members. This government is for the children. Thank you.
The Honourable... The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Premier. Mr. Speaker, I was very surprised to learn recently that home care hours have been decreased over the past few months. Caregivers feel buried in paperwork and are given only a half hour to help our seniors. Less time means seniors get less care. My question to the Premier, when was the last time the Premier bathed twice per week and ate three-day-old macaroni?
That is a personal question, not a question around the Premier's portfolio or his office. It's a personal question, which is out of order, actually. I'll ask you to refrain the question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the point I'm making, Mr. Speaker, is that those are things in this legislature that we take for granted. Caregivers are not allowed enough time to make a hot meal or thoroughly clean the bathroom. Those are things that aren't stupid, Mr. Speaker. Those are things that mean something to the people that receive those services. What does our Premier say to caregivers who are now being thought poorly of by some seniors who cannot understand why their caregivers no longer have time for them?
Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I can't speak to individual situations. What I can tell the member opposite is we are putting $20 million dollars of new money into expanding home care so that more people will receive service.
The Honourable Member for Inverness on his first supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's obvious that the government is taking money out of home care because the time allotted for care has been reduced from an hour and a half to 30 minutes. We see this government has lots of money from increased HST tax revenue to spend on new, bigger government in Halifax. We see that with the increase in the FTE counts. Will our Premier and this government act today to get their priorities straight and start showing respect for our seniors in home care so they can enjoy warm showers instead of the cold NDP sponge baths that they're now receiving.
The Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, again, I have no idea what the member opposite is talking about. As I've said, we've put more money into home care. We're expanding it. We're creating better services for seniors so that they have better access to exactly the kind of support that he is talking about. Of course, Mr. Speaker, there was a time in this province where those seniors wouldn't be able to stay in their home. They would have not had the supports that they needed in order to be able to stay there. They would have gone to long-term care facilities where they would have had practically everything they owned taken from them in order to pay the cost of it. That time, Mr. Speaker, was, of course, when the Conservatives were in power.
The Honourable Member for Inverness on his final supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's an interesting way to deflect things, but I'm going to table a document here. This is from the Cape Breton Post. It's dated March 27th, and the headline reads, "Home care policies changed without warning." And it says that new policies were implemented in October after being finalized by the Department of Health in June. So, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask one more time. Why doesn't the Premier get our priorities straight and look after our seniors by restoring the home care services they so rightly deserve?
Honourable the Premier.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I haven't seen the news report. I'll be happy to have a look at it, but what I can reiterate for the member opposite is that this is a government that's putting more money into home care, that is expanding that program, and is recognizing that because there is an expanding and aging population, that is the necessary focus of government's attention. The Minister of Health has done everything that she can within a restrained budget to be able to expand those kinds of supports. Is it everything that we would like to be able to do, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the seniors in the province? No, it isn't. We would like to be able to do more, but we are doing what we can with the budget that we have.
The Honourable Member for Yarmouth.
Mr. Speaker, for the Minister of Education to stand in this House and say that teachers don't care about our kids is absolutely shameful, Mr. Speaker. There is no one that cares more about our children than our teachers, and it's because of this. But you know what? I'm not surprised that this minister shows such disdain for our teachers, because her cuts are taking them out of our classroom, Mr. Speaker, and that's also shameful. It's unbelievable how this government, who championed education in opposition, has so changed their tune now that they're in government. $65 million out of our classrooms, and we say we're putting kids in learning first. That's a joke, Mr. Speaker. And I am just so ashamed to sit here in this House and hear a minister attack our teaching professionals like she has today. And I think teachers deserve an apology, Mr. Speaker, and I expect to hear one right now. Thank you.
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This government has worked very clearly and very hard with the population of Nova Scotia around our Kids and Learning First plan. We have
order,
a plan.
Order, please. Questions by members to ministers. The time has elapsed. We'll now recognize the Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just on a point of order, earlier in the day...
Order. Hold on. Order. I can't hear the member. The Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just on a point of order, earlier the member for Halifax Clayton Park had directed a question to the Minister of Finance on the area of education. And traditionally, it's my understanding that the Minister of Finance, because his department sets the estimates for all other departments, questions can be asked because it falls under his portfolio.
I think I will take that under advisement, and I will get back to the member at my earliest convenience. I will now recognize the government house leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker wishes to now leave the chair and the House resolves up in the whole House on supply.